From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, my honey, my baby, my baby's mama. Nah. Of course, my name is Keith Funderburk. I'm with you every week.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah, I kind of hang out with you, you know,
yeah,
I guess, you know, you let me come, you know, hang out with you.
I do.
So I'm extremely excited, of course. But Dr. Funderburk, you know, I do try to give you a theme name each week.
Every week,
Every week, that's right. That's right. Even when we have off, you know, when we're not on air, like during the summer months, I got a theme name.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Okay, so we'll catch up on those later.
That's right, that's right. Okay, Dr. Funderburk, when we're out and about this week.
Yes, sir.
I want you to call me Mr. Brother.
Mr. Brother, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, once again, I don't get that one.
You know, in light of the group that we're talking about today, and it's, you know, it's a special group, and I'm gonna let our guest tell us more about her special group.
Yes,
but I want you to call me Brother, and actually, you can do it even better than that.
What's that?
You can call me Brother, Brother.
Okay,
that's right. Yeah,
I don't understand.
What's up, Brother, Brother,
Brother, Brother, Brother. Okay, I sort of understood, but now I don't understand the dual brother here.
Every now and then you got to, hey, Brother, Brother, what's up, bro?
So, okay, you all. So we are going to bring to our microphones today a guest that I am just honored to have on our microphones because the resilience is what you need to hear about today. So we have joining us today, Ms. Deborah Squirewell, and she is 2-time breast cancer survivor. Because, you know, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, right?
Right, right.
So, you know, we had to bring on someone who could talk a little bit about that journey. So she has journeyed it not only once, but twice.
What?
Successfully. And she's the former vice president of the Sisters Network.
Uh-oh.
So I think that's where the brother came from.
That is.
So, Miss Deborah, how are you living?
All is well, and I am so glad to be here to tell my story.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. So let's jump right in. Can you start by, you know, we've introduced you already. Tell us a little bit about your life before the diagnosis.
Well, I was going about life merrily, working. I retired from Guilford Tech in May of 2014, where I had been there 18 plus years as benefits coordinator.
Okay.
And my role as benefits coordinator, I met new employees through new employee orientation, and I was kind of there with them, I'm going to say, the life of their employment.
Okay.
So I met them as a new hire. If they got married, okay, what's the new wife's name? You want to add her to your insurance plan? Okay, it's going to cost so much. Oh, I didn't know it was going to cost that much. If it was life insurance, who's going to be your beneficiary? If there were slips and falls,
okay,
workers' comp. But the thing that really rings loud for me now is the many people that I counseled who were requesting FMLA.
Mm. Okay.
Or who had to go out of work for disability.
Okay.
And some of those medical reasons were because of cancer.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Yes. Yes. And so when I look back on, I think the many folk that I counseled and wow, now I'm on the other side of the desk.
Yes.
Thinking about, okay, now I'm that person.
You had to check your benefits, huh?
Exactly. Exactly. So I retired from there in May.
Okay.
I enjoyed traveling with friends, just enjoying life.
So it's, I'm sorry.
Just enjoying life. Retired in May.
Mm-hmm.
and was diagnosed in December of the same year with breast cancer.
Wow. Wow. My gracious. My gracious. So that must have been kind of a whirlwind for you, because you were probably at that time, you were still just adjusting to retired life, I would imagine.
Indeed. Indeed. Retired in May.
Mm-hmm.
Had a mammogram in August 2014.
Mm. Okay.
November 2014, I went to Virginia Beach for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was in the shower, I felt something in my left breast. I said, what is this?
Mm.
And I wasn't too alarmed, but I knew I needed to get it checked out. So the very next day, I called my doctor's office here in High Point, made an appointment for Monday. And my primary care physician wasn't overly concerned. And so I'm thinking, okay, it's something, but not cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And so she did follow protocol. She said, well, let's have you get another mammogram, ultrasound, and we'll see what we see. And if we need to get a biopsy, we'll do that. Okay, so that's Thanksgiving Day. And wow. Then on New Year's Eve, I received those words that no woman, no person wants to ever hear, that you have cancer. And the surgeon said to me, I have good news and I have bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I figured the bad news was cancer. What could the good news possibly be?
Mm-hmm.
And the good news was that I had stage two.
Mm. Okay.
Not knowing enough. Okay, if you say it's good, okay. But I'm still trying to grasp you have cancer. And
yeah.
I had to think about that. And then Nanette and Keith,
mm-hmm.
a peace came over me.
Oh, wow.
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 And I said, okay, what's next?
Mm.
A peace just came over me.
Wow. That is so necessary during these times that you are facing something that's unknown. Whenever you're facing something that's unknown, or we know very little about it. And I think that's what cancer, that's what it says to us. You know, we know the word. We know
yes.
that there are these things that could happen and it could be bad. And that's what we know, right? So when you hear those words in relation to you, it is really helpful that you had a peace to come over you.
Yes. And again, the many years that I worked in HR and I saw the folk who came into my office, folk who had lost weight, lost hair,
mm-hmm.
Debilitating. But it didn't really strike me
mm-hmm.
until it struck me.
Yes, yes, yes. Very good way to say that there.
Yes.
So it sounds like your initial reaction was maybe shock, but then the peace came.
Then the peace came. And I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
I left the doctor's office. I went, sat in my car, still trying to process that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I made calls to essential folk.
Mm-hmm.
I went to our New Year's Eve service,
mm-hmm.
and the journey began that day.
Wow.
Wow, that is so amazing. You know, for someone to have, you know, during a holiday period, mm-hmm. and you heard such, I mean, it was massive information. But, you know, one of the things that I think is extremely important that you did is that early detection.
Yes.
You know, you were actively doing these the self breast, you know, like going in and making sure that you stay on top of that. I mean, it's just so important that women look, make sure that you're doing your self breast exams.
Yes.
You know, you can do that in the shower. There's a lot of resources that are right there on the internet. You can see that. And you can learn so much about what you need to do to help, you know, make sure if you have the disease or the what have you, you want to be able to get it checked and get it checked soon. So again, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Y'all, we're talking about breast cancer awareness. This is the month of October. And so this is something that we try to share. And we got a real good friend of ours. She's talking to us, Miss Deborah. Again, she's sharing her story. So let me ask you this question then. So we talked about that initial reaction. You know, did you have any support? Did you have any family, any friends that helped you on your journey?
I did. I'll tell you my ugliest cry. My ugliest cry during the cancer journey was not about cancer. It was not about this could kill me. It was, who's going to take care of me? Because I live alone. My mom had long passed. And, you know, with moms, if mom is there, if present, and she says it's going to be all right, baby, you, whatever it is, you just figure it's going to be all right. But my friends and family stepped in and rallied around me and supported me. Even there was, I had developed a schedule, who was coming on what day, and some members called, well, what day is free? What day can I come and sit with you or bring you lunch? So family and friends rallied around me, and I was able to get through that because of their support.
Yes, I think that is excellent what you've just pointed out there, that you had a community, you had a village that said, hey, we want to help support you. And these villages don't pop up overnight, but they can come together. We have to make sure that we are trying to connect in some ways, whether that is through your faith organization, whether that is through your community organizations, school organizations, even professional organizations. We have got to be connected to other people. We can't make it in this life, in this world, without being connected. That's one of the things that when folks come into our office, I'm checking to see who is their support system, because when life gets to lifing, you can't do it all by yourself.
You cannot. You cannot. And I think about one of my members faithfully, faithfully every Friday brought a meal to me. And in addition to going through my journey, I was also a caregiver for my first cousin.
Wow.
And so I'm trying to take care of me, trying to take care of my first cousin. And so my member said, well, I'll bring you dinner, and I'll take Betty and her husband dinner. And that was just, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
But she was willing to do that. And as I got better and could do more for myself, I told Miss Ida, I said, well, I'm good. I'm good. You don't have to bring meals to me anymore. And she looked disappointed. Mm-hmm. She said, well, can I still take dinner over to Betty and Ann?
Look at that. Wow. Look at that.
Wow. I think that's important.
And I said, yes. Yes. She was. Every Friday, let me tell you, I had a meal. Yes.
I think that is so important, too, because what you're basically saying is that those meals were as much for her as they were for you. She was really appreciating being helpful to you. So, you know, and I think sometimes when we get ill or we get whatever going on, sometimes there are people that don't want to accept the help. They're nervous about accepting the help. It sounds like that was not your journey, though.
No, remember my ugliest cry?
Yes.
Who's going to help me?
Yes, that's right.
And folk rallied around. There were people coming weekly to sit, to bring meals, folk who would go with me to my chemo sessions. My dear friends Donna and Linda would go with me and sit. And even though I fell asleep during the session, they'd sit right there. They'd bring things to keep them entertained while I slept. And so it's important to have a support system.
That's right.
And I, that again, that was my ugliest cry, but someone heard my plea.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, you know,
they all need to know someone,
that's
too.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You gotta have somebody in your corner. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be, again, hopefully you might have a family member, but you might have a cousin. You might have someone that can reach out and just help somebody. Mm-hmm. You know,
exactly.
And so that's extremely important. I mean, I'm so glad. You know, again, if you don't have that type of person in your life, and sometimes you might need multiple people, you know, you might want to kind of show yourself friendly yourself, because there may be a time that you may need someone else to kind of help you on this journey.
Yes.
You know, I want to ask you something, and Dr. Funderburk had mentioned it earlier on, but there's this group called Sisters Network Greensboro. Mm-hmm. Now, tell us about that particular group, because it is a special group right here locally.
Well, let me tell you about that. While I was on my cancer journey, my cousin Elaine would call me from Tampa Bay, Florida. Mm-hmm. And she said, Deborah Lynn, you know, first cousins call you by your whole name.
That is.
Deborah Lynn, you need to connect with Sisters Network. I'm membership chair in Tampa Bay, and I'm sure there's one in your area. And my standard reply was, Elaine, I'm just trying to live.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to get through. But you need to connect. Yes. Elaine, I'm just trying to live. And she'd call. Mm-hmm. And finally, she stopped asking me about Sisters Network.
Mm-hmm.
But surprisingly enough, my son's father went to Nora Jones.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Nora
yes.
Jones is the founding president.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
Miss Nora's been on the show.
Yes. And so he talked to Nora Jones and told her about me. She sent me a compassion box with an invitation to come to a meeting. Mm-hmm. Well, when I felt well enough to go to a meeting, I went.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in summer 2015. And I have been a member since.
Oh, wow.
And this organization is the only African-American breast cancer survivorship organization in the nation.
Wow.
And what we do is we educate the community about the devastating effects of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
For women who are uninsured, we will provide a screening mammogram for them.
Wow.
For women who are going through treatment, we send them a compassion box. Remember when I told you my story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's, you know, that was my introduction, that compassion box.
Mm-hmm. I love that name.
And so we do that. Just because you're going through a major illness doesn't mean that the bills stop.
That's
and
right.
And so we will help with rent, utilities, food, and gas for women who need financial assistance.
Wow.
Now, we can't pay all of your monthly rent.
Yeah.
but we can help.
Yeah.
During this month, we've been extra busy. We've been called for speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm.
We've participated in events, breast cancer awareness events in the Triad area.
Okay.
And something that we do all year long is from January to November, we will share our message about breast cancer. And we have someone to speak. It could be a president or another member of the group who will speak about Sisters Network, what we do. And then at the end of the service, we have an exhibit table where people can come and pick up information. We also have a breast model on the table, and it has lumps and bumps and things for you to actually feel what a lump would feel like, something that's unusual. And so you can actually see and feel that model for anything that might be unusual.
Wow.
We have a couple of major events during the year. In June, we have our annual symposium, and that's an event where we invite medical experts to come in, and we invite the community to this event, And experts will share information. It could be advances in cancer treatment. Mm-hmm. It could be topics like sexual intimacy, how mm-hmm. breast cancer affects sexual intimacy. Mm-hmm. It could be a number of things. 1 year hair loss. Mm-hmm. And we had someone to bring in wigs, and our sisters modeled the wigs.
Oh, love that.
Yes, that was in June. And then October, we have our mobile mammography event mm-hmm. where we bring the mobile unit to a site mm-hmm. and will actually perform mammograms.
Wow.
And so the community can register for the mammograms, or walk-ins are accepted. And so okay. we do that, the mammogram and a health fair. So those are two major events where the community is invited to come and join with us.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. You're listening to How You Live on the Show About Life with the Funderburgs. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. We're talking about breast cancer awareness. And we've got a, I guess what we call it, a double, how did you say it?
Two-time survivor.
Two-time survivor.
Mm-hmm.
With us, talking yeah. to us about her journey and how she's able to thrive today and to live her best life. She's got resources. She's got support. Again, if you want to learn more about Sisters Network right here, and there's a Greensboro chapter, make sure you put it in your search engine and you can learn and you can come and you can just see so much information about the Sisters Network.
If someone wanted to reach out, Ms. Deborah, to Sisters Network, is there a phone number they should call, or a website, or how should they try to reach out?
Yes, telephone number is 336-272-0092. And we don't have a brick and mortar building, but we do have a dedicated line where someone who has questions, they can go to that particular number, 336-272-0092, or Sisters Network Greensboro.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. And we'll say that number again before we get off of the air today. I want to ask, you know, there's so much that we could talk about as it relates to this topic. Is there any advice that you would give to someone who's just received a breast cancer diagnosis?
First, I'd say go ahead and scream. Mm. Go ahead and cry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get it out.
Mm-hmm.
Get it out. Just whatever the emotion, it's okay to express it.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I tell you about my journey, yours may be different.
That's right.
Yours may be different.
That's right.
So trust and believe that you're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I can hear Mother Deborah saying, there's a mama there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna be okay, baby. You're gonna be okay.
That's it.
Yeah, you're gonna be if, you know, okay, baby, okay, sister, you're gonna be all right.
Yeah. That's it. And you've just got to trust and believe.
Trust and believe. Trust and believe. Gotta know where your help comes from. So, you know, I really like that you said also, how did you say it? Go ahead and cry, or go ahead and scream, or go ahead and do whatever,
yeah.
express whatever the feeling is. There absolutely can be a range of feelings when you get this type of diagnosis. Like you said, that your physician said he had good news and he had bad news. And the bad news we knew, of course, was cancer. The good news was that it was an earlier stage. So
yes.
So I could see where there could be anger there. I could see where there could be relief there. I could see how there would, you know, on some levels would be, you know, joy at some point, especially once you are realizing, okay, I can make it through this.
Mm-hmm.
I can see mm-hmm. how there would be just such a range of emotions. So I'm so glad that you gave permission, really, for whomever is listening to say, you know what, you don't have to put on that strong face. You can do the ugly cry, like you said. And
that's it.
Mm-hmm, and let it out, because this is a journey. This is a journey.
Exactly.
And journey means that you're moving. It doesn't mean that we get to a place and stay there. We're traversing through this thing. So I just love that you brought that up, because that's absolutely a piece of how our mental health is impacted when there's a diagnosis like this.
Wow.
Yes.
And so you go ahead, Deborah.
And some folk are hesitant to tell anybody, and people have to operate in their own way.
Right.
Some folk are hesitant to say anything.
Yes.
In fact, our motto is stop the silence.
Mm. Wow. Stop
the silence. And this isn't a journey you can do by yourself.
No.
It absolutely is not. And so whenever you're ready, you share it.
Wow.
But the sooner the better, so that your family, your support system can get in position.
That's right.
To act when you're ready for them to act.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. Ms. Deborah, tell us one more time, the Sisters Network, what's that contact number?
That number is 336-272-0092.
Wow. Again, Dr. Funderburg, I tell you, it's such a powerful show today,
mm-hmm.
because we're talking about sisters. We're coming together,
mm-hmm.
and we're helping one another. You're embracing one another. You're crying together. They're bringing food. I tell you, you can't ask for a better show. All right, Dr. Funderburg, we got to wrap it up. We got to get out of here.
We got to get out of here. This happens every time. You all, I hope you have taken with you the message of hope that Miss Deborah has put out there for you, because there is hope with this diagnosis. And we appreciate you being here to hear her story and listen with us today. If you have any comments or questions, make sure that you are messaging us at WNAAFM. At ncat.edu, WNAAFM at ncat.edu. And as always, we're hoping that you'll join us next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FM HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FM HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.